Load shedding has a minor or medium or major impact on everybody. There are individuals and there are companies, small, medium and large sized, that have mitigation measures. But those are expensive. What it costs this company to run, to buy the diesel, to run the generator, to keep us broadcasting without interruption when there is load shedding, it is a significant amount of money. So you might not notice as you go about your daily tasks that load shedding is happening, but it's happening and it is having an impact. Christo van der Riede joins us now, Executive Director of AgriSA. Christo, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to all listeners.
I'm sure that there are many impacts on agriculture and they will be different according to the crop and the size of the farm and so on. But talk us through some of the generalized impacts on agriculture.
I've just received a WhatsApp message from a big farmer this morning. And he said to me they burn approximately 3,000 liters per hour to keep their pack houses and their cold storage facilities going. And if you... Currently, roughly, on average, we pay about 26 rand per liter. And if you times that times 3,000 liters per hour, you get to an amount of 78,000 rand per hour. Times five, you get to approximately 350 to 400,000 rand per day. Times five, 2 million rand per week. And that's the additional cash that big farmers must fork out just to keep production going on a farm. If those type of figures don't scare you, then I don't know what is going to scare you.
Because there is a limit, Christo, to the extent to which farmers can absorb those extra input costs. At some point, they have to pass them on to the chain from growing to eating.
Yeah, but that's easier said than done. Remember, your farmers are price takers. And there's no use your farmer pass on that cost to a retailer or a processing company. Your retailers or your processing, agro-processing establishment can just turn their back on that farmer and say, sorry, we're not prepared to pay that price. So ultimately, it's the farmer that bears the brunt of these increased challenges that is caused by load shedding. Just to add another dimension to it, farmers have to fork out extra money to repair their machines. The transformers on many of the irrigation pivot systems just explode due to power surges, and that costs them additional money. Your very highly technological packaging machines that we import from Germany and other parts of the world also cannot be sustained or break down due to load shedding and power surges. And then you have to import those parts with a rand that is weakened now due to load shedding. Farmers experience a double whammy. Now they have to fork out more money to buy those parts.
And as one moves down the size of the agricultural inputter, I presume that what happens is that the quantum of the impact changes, reduces, but the impact on the farmer is the same because their budgets are smaller as well.
Indeed. So much so that many farmers, and I've spoken to them and they've confirmed it, especially your cash crop farmers, they are thinking of reducing the number of hectares planted because it doesn't make any sense to plant and then there's no water or you cannot use your pivot system to irrigate or to spray your fertilizer mix. And if that happens, those seedlings just die and then you spend a lot of money with no return on that kind of investment. Remember, a central pivot system runs approximately 10 hours to complete a full circle. If there's a disruption, obviously it has an impact on the growth of those seedlings.
I've had conversations with people in agriculture over the years, and it's clear that for various reasons, and you know, the reasons will differ for every farmer leaving the land, but there is a reduction in the number of people who are farming and who want to farm. family farms, which maybe a few years ago, 10, 15 years ago, would have been handed on to a son and maybe even a daughter. Those, you know, the sons, the daughters have moved to the town, they moved overseas, and, you know, the buyers for those farms are not as, not forming the queue that they did maybe some years ago. What's happening now, if this continues for any, and look, we know that load shedding is going to continue for a couple of years at least, that's been made clear to us. But if load shedding at this stage 4, stage 5, stage 6 level is a frequent reoccurrence over the next 18 months, 2 years, what impact might that have on the number of people who are prepared to keep on farming?
It will certainly discourage farmers from continue what they do best. I always say it's not land that produces food, but it's expertise. So the risk that we run as a country that we lose that kind of expertise, yes, we can certainly dish out land left, right, and center. But according to some of the studies, there was a CPA, Communal Property Association study released some time ago, where people that got that land for free just desert the land because they either cannot farm or they cannot withstand the risk that comes with farming, because South Africa is a difficult place to farm in. It's not like the north of the Zambezi where you can, on a small plot of land, get a lot of very high yield because the soil is fertile and there's enough water. So Africa, that is not the case. And a recent study indicated that one out of five farmers currently are planning to leave the system to find a better job and a better income somewhere else. So that's the risk that we face in South Africa. And you cannot have a situation where you lose this kind of expertise.
And then last question, Christo, if I may. Getting one's own power, now one can, with relatively little red tape, and the process does seem to have speeded up, one can register a project of up to 100 megawatts of self-generated power. I don't know how many farmers have the access to the funds to do that, to take themselves off Eskom's grid and save the 2 million rand a month that they're paying on extra diesel, as is the case for some farmers at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of farmers that are, self-reliant. They have the financial ability to invest in solar or wind generation. But what we are saying is that government must raise the ceiling. We need an additional 5,000 to 10,000 megawatts. The government, and especially the department or whatever department is responsible for this, must get their act together, free up the regulatory environment so that people can invest in solar and wind power generation and allow them to feed back into the system. The only way we're going to save the day for South Africa to put power generation and a good part of that into the hands of the private sector.
Christo van der Rede, thank you very, very much for talking to us. Much appreciated. Christo is the Executive Director of Agri SA.